Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
From my earliest days in photography, it was drilled into my mind that archival and permanent processing were an integral part of the craft. One of the first things I learned how to do, of course, in the darkroom was to run my prints through Fixer, which had the all-important job of removing the silver that was not exposed and developed so that the print would be permanent. But, of course, then you had to turn right around and wash all that Fixer out, or else eventually it would stain and cause your pictures to fade, etc. So archival permanence was from day one. And that extended through every other aspect after processing the print. For example, if we dry mounted our prints on the mat board, it had to be the right kind of dry mount paper, so that was archival. The mat board itself had to be archival. The boxes we stored the prints in had to be archival. And even when inkjet printing became a big deal, one of the first serious topics of concern was how long were the inks going to last. So we had organizations like Wilhelm doing all kinds of longevity testing to see how permanent the inks would be. Permanence is a big deal in photographers' minds, and probably should be, in the sense that we don't want our prints to deteriorate over time. But do you see the premise of that train of thought? The premise is that at some point in the future, 25, 50, 100, 500 years from now, someone is going to care what artwork you made. I have a pretty good-sized ego, or I wouldn't be a photographer, and I wouldn't be a publisher, and I wouldn't do these podcasts, but my ego's just not that big. I can't imagine anybody's going to be interested in my artwork 25 years, 50, 100, 500 years from now. It's just not likely to happen. They'll be interested in their artwork. They'll be interested in the artwork of their times. And who knows what method of presentation of photographic-like images will be. After all, when I started photography, I could never have predicted something like the iPad, except maybe in science fiction shows like Star Trek. But there it is. The iPad is, I think, second in terms of Lenswork consumables. That is to say, of all the digital things we publish, seeing them on the iPad is the second most popular device, a device that didn't even exist in my imagination when I started photography 50 years ago. Fortunately, the images on the iPad don't have to run through Fixer and HypoClear and then get washed for an hour. But nonetheless, there is still the concern about longevity. How long will those images be viewable on an iPad? Isn't it perfectly reasonable, given enough time, that iPads and PCs and Mac computers and all the things that you and I take for granted as the medium of our time, those are all likely to morph and change and probably even disappear? So what happens to our images then? The assumption made in my youth about all that print washing and archival processing, etc., was that somehow permanence is a property of the medium. But I'm not so sure. I got to thinking about this because I did a podcast a while back titled Books I Return to Time and Again, and I received several emails from people saying they can't find those books. They're not available on the used market, and I think I understand why. A lot of times books get run in fairly small press runs, maybe 500 copies, maybe 1,000 copies, and it doesn't take long for those copies to disappear from the marketplace. And then the only way they reappear in the marketplace is if someone sells them to a used bookstore or donates them to the Goodwill or whatever, and suddenly they're available in the used market. But you never know what you're going to find in a used bookstore. It's one of the reasons I love used bookstores, is it's a bit of an adventure to see what's there. But if you're searching for a specific title, that's a different story. Sometimes maybe you can find things on abebooks.com or go to some of the bigger bookstores like Powell's and search through their archives and find it. My point is that books disappear, and books would seem to be one of the most permanent ways you could produce your work. After all, it's molecular, it's not a digital presentation, and it's substantial. A book that has 150 pages of images is a thing. It's substantial, it's meaty, and because it has so many images, there's a lot of reasons to own a book. But that doesn't keep them from disappearing. Which brings me to the title of this podcast, Permanence is Not a Property of the Medium. I like to use the Billie Holiday example. If you've heard this, forgive me for repeating it, but I think it makes such a strong point. Don't we all love the music of Billie Holiday? If you like jazz and you like music from that era anyway, Billie Holiday is a big deal. But think about it. The earliest recordings of Billie Holiday showed up probably on 78s, I don't know, maybe even wax cylinders, I'd have to do some research, but certainly on 78s. But do you have the ability to play a 78 today? Maybe, if you have a turntable. But I bet a lot of people don't. But we can still hear Billie Holiday's music because somebody, somewhere along the lines, translated the music on her 78 LPs into vinyl LPs. And then somebody translated from vinyl LPs up to probably reel-to-reel, then maybe 8-track tape, then maybe cassettes, then CDs, now streaming. Her work has survived for generations now through a variety of media. And I think it would be a fair assessment to say that Billie Holiday's music is here to stay. It is a permanent part of culture, but not because of the medium of presentation. The media have changed a lot, even in our lifetime. And I see no reason to think that it's not going to continue to change in the next 25, 50, 100 years. Can't we all imagine that there will be a medium of some kind or another that replaces MP3 files, whether they're streamed or stored on your local device? There'll probably be a replacement that's better, faster, cheaper, etc. That's the nature of technological evolution. So it's likely to continue. The point is, Billie Holiday's presence here in 2025, the year in which I'm recording this, her presence is still with us, even though her original media are not. Permanence is not a property of the medium. That doesn't mean that we should not pay attention to the permanence of our inks or our papers or our mat board, because why not? The cost differential is fairly small. And who knows, maybe your work will be treasured 500 years from now, but not if you treat it slovenly, not if you don't process with archival permanence. But I guess what I'm suggesting is that even if you process with archival permanence, and that's a good idea, that is not the key to longevity, certainly not the key to permanence. Well, the logical question then becomes, what is the key to permanence? And I think all we have to do is look at the history of photography, and that lesson becomes fairly obvious. Why do we still treasure Migrant Mother by Dorothea Lange? Why do we still treasure The Steerage by Alfred Stieglitz? It's not because of the medium of presentation. As a matter of fact, the way we see those images today have nothing to do with the way they were originally conceived and prepared and processed and distributed back in the day. No, those images have become permanent in culture and in our mind's eye because of their content, because of their relevance, because of the emotional impact that they made on not only us, but the generations prior to us who valued them, who said, "This is an important piece of work that's worth preserving and publishing, and sharing." And doesn't it seem clear with that example that permanence is not a part of the medium, but it is a reflection of the content? With that in mind, it seems to me that the best thing you and I can do to ensure the permanence of our artwork, assuming we think that's a fine idea, is to make sure that our work has content, that it is relevant, that it has emotional impact, that we're paying attention to the things that matter, not the medium of presentation. And what matters uses a medium of presentation for a contemporary audience. But we have to recognize that with the passing generations, that medium is likely to have less and less appeal to the audience of our times. And it would make sense that we try to develop our artwork and our vision and our images so that the content carries them through the variety of media that are probably coming at us in the future, or at future generations anyway. This podcast that you're listening to is number 1459 in my podcast series. Just as a thought experiment, let's pretend like I wanted this podcast to survive. I wanted it to have a permanent place in the history of photography. How would I do that? Would I change the way I'm processing? I record these as WAV files and then convert them into MP3 files and upload them to the web. Would I change that to something else? Do you suppose a change of medium would make this podcast more valuable? Or is it totally about the content and the relevance and whether or not it makes a difference to the way you think about your work? That's what makes this podcast important or not important, worth keeping or perfectly forgettable. I know I've talked about content so many times that it starts to sound like a broken record. Isn't that a funny analogy to insert here? But it seems as though no matter how we approach the process of personally expressive photography, it always comes down to content. Not gear, but content. Not methods of presentation, but content. Not the media we use, but content. Content drives everything. So the important question is not how are you doing photography, but why are you doing photography, and what are you saying with your artwork that is so important that it's worth not only your time and effort to produce it, but our time and effort to view it, or in my case, for you to listen to it. Think of all the songs that were recorded during Billie Holiday's lifetime. The vast majority of them are now lost in the mists of time. But the best work, the work that is worthy of preserving, has been preserved. And I see no reason to think that that wouldn't be true with all of the contemporary photography that you and me and all our fellow photographers are currently producing. It's the work that has the best content that will survive, not the work that uses the most permanent and archival inks.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.